This week on Sports and Stuff, I talk about something the Bruins haven't done in the playoffs in over 30 years, and that is knock the Washington Capitals out. I'm going to talk about their series win over Washington. I'll also talk about the beginning of the Celtics playoff run against the Brooklyn Nets, talk about the Red Sox, and get you our Magic City Highlight recap of the week. All this and more coming up on Sports and Stuff, presented on EPRN and sponsored by Magic City Highlight.
What's up, Highlight fans and Highlight Channel viewers? It's Tanara Davis, a.k.a. Jed, from Magic City Highlight. Hey guys, stay in tune to Magic City Highlight and also tune into weekly head-to-head recaps on exquisite podcast radio network Sports and Stuff Podcast. Right now, if you signed up to be a listener member of EPRN, you could be one of 200 lucky winners of the Magic City Highlight EarPods giveaway. So if you wanted to be one of the lucky winners, go to earpods.eprn.uts. It's free to join and to enter, so do it. So take it from me, the only NFL Super Bowl champion in the world of highlight, go to earpods.eprn.us and get those earpods.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Sports and Stuff. Glad you could join us this week on the program. I'm your host, John Meisner, and hope everybody's staying safe, at least in Massachusetts. We're just a few days away from getting the masks lifted, thank God. We don't have to wear masks everywhere anymore, which is going to be a relief, which will be good. So anyway, hope everybody's doing well out there. So the first thing we'll get to on the show this week is the NHL playoffs. Like I mentioned at the beginning, the Bruins did something that they have not done since 1990, and that is beat the Washington Capitals in a playoff series to win the series. They hadn't done it since 1990. They lost to the Capitals twice in 98 and in 2012, but not this time. They finally beat Washington, and pretty quickly, too. They dominated the Capitals as the series went on. They beat them in five games, four games to one. The first three games went to overtime, and the way that series started, I thought every game was going to go to overtime. But the goaltending for the Bruins outlasted the Capitals' goaltending. I mean, once Vanecek got hurt in game one, I had a feeling that the Capitals were not going to win the series. Their goaltending depth got tested, and it did not hold up. I mean, Craig Anderson it was okay, but didn't, you know, win a lot of games for the Capitals. And Samsonov, who they used for really the majority of the series in games 3 through 5, was very good at times, but gave up a couple shaky goals at other times as well. I think what was ultimately the biggest backbreaker for the Capitals was the double overtime loss in Game 3. Just a poor decision by Samsonov. If anybody hasn't seen it, he leaves the puck sitting behind his goal for his defenseman to get to, I'm assuming so he could lead the puck up the ice on a breakout, but he didn't communicate that at all to his teammate. There was miscommunication. Craig Smith on the Bruins pounced on the puck that was just sitting there. It was a loose puck behind the goal, and wrapped it around and put it in the goal before the goaltender got set and got back. So it was an ugly goal. I was happy for the Bruins, but my God, that was a terrible goal that the Capitals gave up. Just to leave the puck sitting there, like, ugh, yikes. So that, I think that took the wind out of the Capitals' sails, and that carried over into Game 4, where the Bruins just dominated start to finish. They put so many shots on net. The final score in that game was 4-1, but it could have easily been like 7-1 or 8-1, because there were a lot of shots on net, some that could have gone in had Samsonov not played so well and made so many saves. But the Bruins dominated in that one, and they were able to come away with a win in Game 5 with a couple of clutch goals from my favorite player, number 37, Patrice Bergeron, and they knock out the Capitals in 5 games, folks, 5 games. I'm very happy about it, but I have to tell you, the Capitals are a bunch of cheap shot artists. I call them the Crapitals, and I don't say that because I'm misspeaking. I just like puns, but no, they're the Crapitals. They play like crap because They are crap. They take dirty hits. They deliver a bunch of cheap shots. One of them was... many of them were from Tom Wilson. One of them was almost resulted in a 5-minute major, which got reduced to a 2-minute minor after the referees had looked at the video on replay. I mean, they take dirty hits. They just... You know, they do that because they know they're not the more talented team. So they have to... They hit and they get inside opponents' heads instead of actually trying to play the game of hockey, which is what matters the most here. And the Bruins were definitely the better team in every category. Offense, defense, special teams. Their penalty killing was outstanding. They limited a very dangerous Capitals offense in their power play. And their goaltending outlasted the Capitals. I mean, Tuukka Rask was very, very good in every game. Even the one game they lost in overtime wasn't completely his fault. But still, very, very strong effort by the Bruins. After losing game one, they rattled off 4 straight wins. Yes, they did. They won 4 in a row after they lost the first game. So they're going to face now either the Pittsburgh Penguins or the Washington or the New York Islanders. Sorry. Either the Penguins or the Islanders in the second round. And honestly, I feel like they can handle either one of those teams. They don't scare me. Washington scare me a little more because we had not had good history against the Capitals in past years, but they're past them now. And I think they can definitely beat either the Penguins or the Islanders. The Islanders might be a little tougher because they have a good defense, but I think I can say with 100% certainty we can definitely beat the Pittsburgh Penguins in 5 or 6 games if it comes to that. That series could go either way right now. Penguins Islanders, it's currently 2 games each. I feel a little more comfortable against the Penguins, but hey, Islanders are very good too. Islanders have good defense and good solid goaltending. They're very good. They're very good. They might be a little harder, but I think the Bruins can outlast either one of them. So we'll see what happens, the result of that series. And the rest of the NHL, we have... Let's see, I had the scores a little while ago. I changed it. I was looking at some of the others. But as far as the rest of the series go, the Tampa Bay Lightning have dominated their series against the Florida Panthers. After losing the first game, Tampa's won the next 3 in a row. They're up 3-1 on the Panthers. I thought that one would be a little more evenly matched, honestly. I thought it would go back and forth a little bit, but no, it's been Tampa. They've been gone 3-1. I mentioned the Penguins and Islanders are tied at 2. The St. Louis Blues got swept by the Colorado Avalanche. Colorado swept that series. They're moving on to the second round. I still can't understand why the Blues beat the Bruins in the playoffs a couple years ago in the Stanley Cup Finals. The Bruins let that one get away from them. I think that's forever going to haunt in people's memories. They should have beat the Blues that year. The only thing the Blues had going for them was a good team defense and not much else. they couldn't score and their goaltending was inconsistent, yet they somehow won anyway, so go figure. But anyway, they're out of the playoffs. Colorado moves on. The Maple Leafs are up on the Montreal Canadiens, it's tied at 1 game each, but they beat them, the Maple Leafs did, in game 2, 5-1. I hope the Maple Leafs win that. I'd like to see them win a playoff series for once. I think it's been a long time coming. It has been a long time coming in Toronto. So hopefully they beat Montreal. The Golden Knights are up 3-1 on the Wild. They're on the brink of clinching that series. Hurricanes and Predators are tied at 2 games each. And that's gone back and forth. That could go either way. I can't really predict who's going to win that one, honestly. The Hurricanes had the most amount of points in the NHL this season, so I'm surprised they're tied at 2. I guess it's just a matchup. And Winnipeg leads the Edmonton Oilers 3-0. The Jets won their third game in that series in overtime, 5-4. And so they should most likely win that series, Winnipeg. So far, only a couple teams have advanced, just the Bruins and the Avalanche. So we still got a lot to go here, but I will say that, you know, going back to the Bruins, you know, I have a feeling they're going to go on a deep run this year, because for one thing, they're not in the bubble anymore, and that was a problem last year for Tuukka Rask. He had to exit early, and Yaroslav Halak came in and just couldn't get the job done in goal. But should something happen to Tuukka Rask, God forbid, Jeremy Swayman would be an excellent backup. Some fans even want him in now. I mean, as soon as Rask has a bad game, they're all going to say, "Oh, put Swayman in. It hasn't gone to there yet, but if it does, then I have the utmost confidence that Swayman can come in and do a good enough job to help us win games. So the Bruins goaltending this year is excellent. It always has been good, but it has better depth this year than it did last year. They're playing very well enough to win. You know, I suspect they're going to go on a deep run this year. I'm feeling good about their chances. Even with the different playoff format this year. So we'll see how things go the rest of these rounds. I'll definitely keep you updated. And with that, we'll take a break on sports and stuff and come back with more sports talk after this. Stick around.
Proud sponsor of sports and stuff, Harold's Ice Cream has over 400 original flavors to select from. Best of all, Harold's is kosher certified, no moo or artificial ingredients. Harold's also makes ice cream cakes with real cake centers, and they also ship their frozen treats to customers. Harold's Ice Cream makes treats like frozen yogurt, sherbet, brownies, cookies, pies, and cakes. Harold's does it all to satisfy that sweet, healthy treat craving. They cater events for 70 people or more, and they ship their kosher treats by mail. Call Harold's Ice Cream today at 413-586-9700 and visit harolds.com.
We are back, and we'll continue with more sports talk right now on EPRN on sports and stuff. As always, we're sponsored by Magic City Highlight. We'll get you our weekly recap a little later on in the show, our head-to-head recap. But first, we're gonna talk some NBA hoops. I'm going to be honest. I don't really see the Celtics going far in the playoffs this year because they've just been so inconsistent. They don't have Jaylen Brown because of a season-ending wrist injury. And I just don't see them getting past the Nets. I think the Nets are going to win that series. They already took game one. Even though the Celtics got out to a good start in that game, they couldn't play well for all 48 minutes. I just think the Nets have too much talent. I mean, they have Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, and James Harden. Those guys are just, I mean, it's a super team they have. I mean, they have their own big three, and they're going to go very far in the playoffs with those three for sure. It's possible to contain one of them, but I don't think they can contain all three for the whole series. I just don't think the Celtics have enough talent. I don't even know if they could beat the Nets with a healthy Jaylen Brown, honestly. I mean, they might have a chance with a healthy Jaylen Brown, but without him, Jason Tatum can't carry them. I mean, I love Tatum, but he can't single-handedly carry them to a championship, let alone a playoff round win. So I see the Nets winning that series. And then in the other series, you got the in the Eastern Conference, I should say. Bucks versus Heat. Milwaukee took game one in overtime, actually, on Saturday night. Close game. They won by 2 points. They're definitely looking for revenge on Miami after the Heat beat them last year. I say the Bucks are going to get past them this time. They should outlast them. Although the Heat are tested, though they're playoff tested, they're tough. But I think the Bucks are a little more explosive with the Giannis Antetokounmpo. Can never say his name right. But I think the Bucks will outlast them in that one. Then we got Wizards 76ers. 76ers will easily win that one. No, I'm not worried about that. They got a great team. Doc Rivers and company. Joel Embiid. We got Hawks-Knicks. I say Hawks win that one. I don't think the Knicks are all that great, honestly. What else do we have here? Oh, Lakers-Suns. Lakers won the play-in game. They got the 7th seed, I think. And the Suns won that first game. Anthony Davis was quoted saying after that game that he didn't do enough. Well, that may be true, but the fact of the matter is nobody can do enough to stop Devin Booker. Okay, he's really, really good. He's a legit scorer. He's so talented. I remember a few years ago against the Celtics, he dropped 70 points on them. That's the record for most number of points by an opposing player in the Garden. All time. I mean, bet higher than, you know, Michael Jordan or Kareem or Magic or any of those. I mean, Will Chamberlain, even he didn't score more than 50 or 60, I think. He scored 100 points in one game, but that was against another team. But yes, Devin Booker, all-time record against the Celtics by an opposing player in the Garden. 70 points. Unbelievable. Yeah. And it was kind of funny in that game, too. I'll get back to the playoffs in a second, but it's funny in that game that, you know, the Celtics were up comfortably against Phoenix. It was a regular season game. They were going to win. But yet, Booker was still going off scoring points, and the Celtics didn't do anything to contain him because they were kind of sitting back at the end knowing they were going to win. But it was just crazy seeing Booker get that many points like that in meaningless time, garbage time like that. It was just insane. And the Celtics fans were actually cheering for him. It's kind of funny. But still, that's going to be an interesting series, Lakers-Suns. I mean, the Lakers have more talent, but, I mean, the Suns do have Devin Booker and a good solid team around him. So that we'll see how that plays out. That could go either way. Memphis actually took game one against the Utah Jazz, surprisingly. I expect the Jazz to come out of the West this year. If it's not the Lakers, I'm definitely going to say the Jazz. I definitely think they are the best team in the Western Conference. They're such a strong team. They're very well coached. They're very tough to beat. Very well prepared for every game. I think they're the favorite in the West. And the other series we got is the Nuggets and the Trailblazers. Portland leads that series one game. They took the first game. I don't see Portland going deep in the playoffs. They never have. Not in recent years. They haven't won a championship since Bill Walton was on that team. I feel like one of those old timers. They haven't won since Bill Walton was on the team. I think the Nuggets should win that. I don't think the Trailblazers will go very far. Then we got the Mavericks and the Clippers. Dallas took game one of that series. I think Clippers will end up winning that. They're too good not to at least make it a series. So I'll say Clippers come back and win that series. But anyway, I was mentioning about the Celtics a minute ago. I think it's time for a coaching change. I do not expect the Celtics to get past the first round. I would be very shocked if they did. They need a culture change. They need a different voice in the locker room. You know, they've got so much talent with a healthy roster. They just need the right coach to get to push them to the next level. And it's not Brad Stevens. I'm sorry. It's just he's underachieved. With this current group of players, no, they need somebody that can push them, and it's not him. I mean, I would love this. I mean, it's crazy to think that, you know, about the possibility of Doc Rivers coming here, or returning after coaching the Celtics for so many years. Be interesting to see how he would handle like Marcus Smart and, you know, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I mean, I would think he has respect for those guys, but I don't know how he'd do coaching them. I think he would be a good fit, but I mean, it's unlikely because he's probably going to stay in Philadelphia, but I do kind of toss the idea in my head around a little bit for the future, but there are other possibilities out there. I'm just probably not thinking of them at the moment, but I do kind of wonder how Doc would do. An interesting, you know, discussion topic for a sports talk show like this, so that's why I bring it up. But anyway, We'll keep you updated on the rest of the playoffs as they go along here. Oh, and I do have to mention this piece of news for basketball. I put it on the community group page for sports and stuff. Marv Albert announced last week that he's retiring from the NBA after 50 years. God bless him. Good for him. He really is the voice of basketball, in my opinion. Just such an imitatable voice. I love how he describes everything. The Celtics have won the world championship. Or it's like, yes, and a foul. Or, I love his voice. It's just so great to imitate that authentic New York sound. Just, you can see the exhaustion of Michael Jordan. I remember him as a kid. He announced all those NBA finals back in the 90s. For NBC, with Mike Fratello, who he still does occasionally on TNT every now and then, but not as often. He's finally going to call it a career after 50 years. He's been announcing basketball since almost it became a thing, since the league started. Yeah, probably remembers when the NBA launched too. He was probably a young man studying broadcasting in New York, and I just like imitating. But he's great. He's definitely a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest sports announcers of all time. Yeah, just love his voice and his passion for basketball and how great of a career he's had. He's one of the greats, and some fans think he's retiring at a good time too, because when he was announcing the play-in game between the Celtics and Wizards, he kept making mistakes, and they were very noticeable on air, and kept forgetting to mention Marcus Smart and forgot his name, and it's time to hang it up. Okay, I mean, after the season's over, it's time to, he's got to go. but still, he had to retire at some point. He couldn't keep doing it till he was 100. it'll be interesting to hear what Marv Albert's final call will be at the end of the playoff season, because I believe he's going to do the Eastern Conference Finals for TNT this year. So be interesting how he says goodbye to the audience after what ends up being the last game of that series. So I would like to hear that, what his final words are, but anyway, we still got plenty of basketball to get to before then, but just thought I'd mention that. When I was a kid, I actually had the NBA on NBC video game. I was never like a huge basketball fan growing up. I just like playing it just to hear Marv Albert's voice and hear the theme music and just to shoot threes, because I didn't know what else basketball was other than shooting as a kid with shots. And but that was kind of a fun game to play. Yeah. But anyway. We'll take another quick break here on sports and stuff, and when we come back, we're going to talk about baseball a little bit. Things are starting to change a little bit in the American League East. I'm going to talk about my thoughts on that division and throughout baseball when we come back on sports and stuff after these words. You're listening to EPRN. I'm John Meisner, host of Sports and Stuff. Listen in to my podcasts and all of the podcasts on Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. Download and bookmark the EPRN app. Go to app.eprn.us, and you can always tune in at www.eprn.us. We are back here on Sports and Stuff. And I want to thank everybody for listening to the show, as always. We'll get to our Magic City Highlight recap in a little while, but first, we're going to talk some baseball, America's pastime. things have tightened up in the American League East. The Red Sox have still been continuing to play well, but I got to say, the Tampa Bay Rays have been on a roll lately. They've won 9 or 10 in a row, I think. They have been hitting very well. They've been scoring like almost 10 runs a game lately. It's been ridiculous. Their offense has been on a roll. Their pitching has been good. That team is clicking on all cylinders, and that's not good news for the Red Sox, because they are right on their tails in that division. They didn't get off to the greatest start the first month, but boy, they turned it on in the month of May. They have really been playing great baseball, and the Yankees have been playing very good too. They got off to a dreadful start, and one of their worst starts of all time, but they've come around. Corey Kluber has pitched well. He actually pitched a no-hitter this past week against the Texas Rangers. They beat him 2-0, and so good for Corey Kluber. But baseball seems like going back several years, has had like many no-hitters. It's almost kind of lost its excitement in a way, because it's not as rare. It's almost happening like too often. But the reason for that is because the way the game has shifted. Guys are striking out a lot more. They're not trying to put the ball in play as much. They're trying to hit home runs. And because of that, hitting batting average is down. The shifts are a lot more common. And, you know, pitchers can come into games knowing they can throw 95 miles an hour or more, knowing the batters will swing and miss at it. So that's why strikeups are up and, you know, hitting is down. I think the hitting approach has changed and pitchers' philosophies have changed as well. So it's just the game has always evolved, but unfortunately, I mean, I don't think a lot of purists like it, because it takes away certain elements like, you know, hit and run and stealing bases and bunting, you know, things that actually force you to have to think about what you're doing at the plate instead of just hitting a home run. You know, yeah, there's certain elements that are just almost non-existent these days, which is sad. But it is what it is, and we just have to, you know, get used to it, I guess. But anyway, you know, like I said, Tampa's really on a roll in that division. Although one thing this week, in the past week or two in baseball, really bothered me was on the Chicago White Sox. I forget the player's name off the top of my head. I'm sorry, but he hit a 3-0 pitch that was right down the middle of the plate for a home run. And Tony La Russa, who's now the current manager of the White Sox, the great Tony La Russa, sent the kid back down to AAA just because he didn't follow an unwritten rule of two things, actually, of two unwritten rules. Not swinging at a 3-0 pitch and not hitting against a position player, which is what the situation was. It was a position player that came in late because either the starter or one of the the starter got hurt, or it was just very one-sided. And, you know, that gets into a discussion of, you know, what rules are meant to be followed and what are meant to be broken. I mean, I've always thought if you know a 3-0 pitch is coming and it's right down the middle, then I say, why not swing at it? But I could see why managers would think it would be disrespectful. But come on, they're just trying to have fun and, you know, add to their offense and, you know, have a good time and win. And by no means are they trying to disrespect the other team. I mean, come on, Tony La Russa was being a little too strict. I mean, come on. Those young players on the White Sox are in the big leagues for a reason. Okay, judge them by how well they're doing and what their numbers are. Not whether or not they swing at a 3-0 pitch. Come on, this is 2021, all right? This is not 1975. Just get with the times here, okay? You know, I respect La Russa. He's a Hall of Fame manager, but, you know, just let the kids have fun, okay? Don't take everything so seriously. Okay, it's not like the other team's going to get upset over it. I hope not. I don't know. It just kind of bothered me when I heard that. I mean, I get what the point he's trying to make, but you don't send a guy back to AAA just because they did that. That's, no. You talk to them and you know, maybe get that thought or idea into their head in terms of strategy, but don't demote them. That crossed the line. That was too much. Too much. I didn't like that. So anyway, that's about all I have for baseball at the moment. Just a couple of other things. Mike Trout is out for several weeks. He suffered an injury. That's a big loss to the Angels and a big loss to baseball, because he's the only player to cheer for on that team, right? Well, yeah, well, him and Ohtani, their pitcher that hits, but their DH. But other than that, they don't surround that guy with good players. They surround him with good hitters, but not with good pitchers. They don't spend their money wisely, that team, the Angels do. And in the National League, the East is pretty bunched up between the Phillies and, you know, the Mets and the Braves and whatnot. So nobody's really running away with that division. You know, it's interesting that I sort of think the NL East the NFC East, you could call the NL Least, National League Least, and the NFC Least. you know, but because it's funny that, you know, those teams are in similar regions and they just don't have very good records. But anyway, yeah, they're pretty close right now. But in the West, though, you know, the Padres and Dodgers, boy, that's going to be a good rivalry the rest of this season. It's going to be a great summer, great finish for those two teams. You know, the Padres are great. The Dodgers are having another good year. The Giants as well. I almost forgot the Giants. Yeah, Giants are very good as well. So, yeah, there's three good teams in that division that are going to be on each other's tails all summer. That's going to be a great race, honestly. As well as I said the two best divisional races are NL West and AL East between, you know, Yankees, Red Sox, and Tampa. Now, this is going to be great to watch down the stretch. And the Red Sox haven't faced the Yankees yet, but they will face them in early June. They do have some games against them coming up, so that's going to be fun to watch. See them go up against Corey Kluber and, you know, see how they pitch against Aaron Judge and all those guys. So that should be fun. Looking forward to that. Always good when the Red Sox and Yankees get together. And so, before we take a break, we'll get to our sports and stuff Magic City highlight recap of the week. Check it out. Here it is.
The world's fastest game, High Line, America's new super sport.
And here's the Magic City Highlight head-to-head recap brought to you by Sports and Stuff and Exquisite Podcast Radio Network. I'm Garland L. McLaughlin, also known as the Consulting Guy, and I'll start with the doubles H2H scores for Saturday, May 22nd. And there were only two head-to-head performances. The first performance was Jeddin and Julin versus Ikeda and El Barba. And Jeddin and Jula win in straight sets 6-5, 6-5. In the second performance, Bueno and Ben are matched up against CRB and Bradley. And Bueno and Ben win 6-1 and 6-1 in the last two sets. And in the singles action for Monday, May 24th, we have six performances. In the first performance, Carballo versus Ron Ron, and Ron Ron wins in split sets 6-5 and 6-4. In the second performance, Ikeda versus Benny, and Ikeda wins in straight sets 6-5 and 6-5. In the third game, Julin versus Spinner. Spinner wins in straight sets 6-4 and 6-5. Game 4, Benny versus Ron Ron. Ron Ron wins in straight sets 6-2 and 6-1. In the fifth game, Ikeda versus Spinner. And Ikeda wins in the second and third sets 6-2 and 6-0. And in the sixth and final game, Carballo versus Julin. And Carballo wins in the second and third sets, 6-5 and 6-5. And that is the head-to-head recap action for this week. And it's back to you, John.
All right, that was our Magic City Highlight recap of the week. Hope you enjoyed that head-to-head recap. And, you know, I will say that, you know, I don't watch a whole lot of highlight or a lot of soccer, but I find it interesting, you know, the TV was on earlier today, and I heard a little bit of a soccer match going on, and I always find it funny how the soccer announcers are, they're always so British, and so English, and Chelsea's got a goal against Manchester United. It always has to be a British announcer. You never hear American announcers do soccer. I guess it's never become an Americanized sport, because it's so worldwide, you know, in other countries, but yeah, I can't remember the last time I ever heard an American voice do a soccer game. It's always somebody British or English or Liverpool, then Manchester United scored a goal in the 60-minute mark at their, I don't know, something like a cross corner kick from, or whatever. I just like hearing them talking. It's awesome. It's great. So anyway, that's just what I think of sometimes, these silly thoughts in my head. So anyway, but before we get off the rails here, we'll take a break here and we'll come back with more sports and stuff after these words.
You've got to plug into EPRN. We've got the conversation, we've got the sports team, and our music and entertainment team brings podcasting to extremely new heights.
Listen in to EPRN.us. Press the app button on the site and download the EPRN app now. You'll be listening to shows in no time. Take us on the go with you. Our app is accessible on all mobile devices and tablets. Or you can just go to EPRN.us.
Your listening is worth your time.
Spend your time listening to an independently owned media network.
Tell a friend and listen in.
Exquisite Podcast Radio Network, EPRN.
Sports and stuff continues right now on EPRN and all of the other media platforms out there. And I've already talked about a lot so far on the show this week. And don't have a whole lot more to say on the show this week. And so we'll call it quits here in just a minute or two here. But I will say, though, that at the end of this week, if you're a fan of Jeopardy like I am, the tournament champions will be crowned. Well, so we'll see who the winner of that's going to be. I say it'll be either, if you're a fan of Jeopardy, you'll know who I'm referring to, but I hope it's either Jason Zuffirneri or Jennifer Quayle, one of those two, or maybe Ryan Bilger, a young kid who made a big splash in the first game of the tournament. So we'll see how that goes. I hope it's, depending on who faces against each other in the semifinals, I hope it's Jason, Jennifer, and Ryan. I hope it's those three, assuming they don't get, like I said, assuming they don't face each other in the semis, hopefully they all three of them get to the finals. That would be good. So, we shall see. We shall see. At least Jason and Jennifer, or at least those two, or at least one of them. But yeah, I could definitely see Ryan getting to the finals. I think he'll be one of them. So, we'll see how that plays out in that tournament. I just love this time of year. I just love the championship season for basketball and hockey and Jeopardy's tournament champions, of course. It doesn't get nearly as much attention, but it's still kind of exciting, in my opinion. So, that is just about going to do it for me on my end here for this week. I want to thank you all for listening. If you'd like to contact me in the future, if you want to interact with me somehow, the best way to do that is to send me a message or drop a comment or anything, really, on our Sports and Stuff community group page, which is available on Facebook. I'm always posting content and trying to interact with the fans out there. Also, you can contact me on LinkedIn. That's one I actually haven't mentioned recently, so I'll mention it now. You can also contact me on LinkedIn, which I'm very active on. And you can also email me. My email address is redsoxwatcher0627@gmail.com. Again, that's redsoxwatcher0627@gmail.com. So for everybody at EPRN this week, and for our good folks, our good sponsors at Magic City Highlight, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. This is John Meiser signing off of Sports and Stuff. You've been listening to EPRN. Be sure to download the EPRN app. We got a lot of other great podcasts on our network, so check those out. We always got a little something for everybody. Have a good one, folks. Take care. So long.